Hey everyone, I'm Tony, your host of the Grounded Podcast. This podcast is all about sustainable living, urban and not so urban living, homesteading and healthy eating with a healthy dash of permaculture principles and environmentalism. This podcast came from a blog I started nearly two decades ago after accidentally stumbling into gardening while in my mid-teens three decades ago. And I've been hooked ever since. Now, aside from being a foodie, hippie, hipster, film pundit, traveler, 80s enthusiast, self-proclaimed chef, and I do mean self-proclaimed chef, I'm also a homesteader, an urban homesteader. Now, most importantly, I'm a father, small business owner, organic gardener, and just too much more to name here. So welcome to my sustainable yet attainable home garden. Beginning in 1999, journalist and explorer Dan Bruttner led a series of expeditions with National Geographic and a team of anthropologists, demographers, and scientists to discover the world's longest living populations and the commonalities between these unique groups of people. Now, through their research, they identified five regions of the world with the largest percentage of individuals 100 years of age or older, collectively called the Blue Zones. The people of these regions engage in similar lifestyle habits, such as consuming a plant-heavy diet and prioritizing tight-knit social networks. These sharing features are referred to as the Power 9 in Dan Bruttner's book, The Blue Zones: Lessons for Living Longer from the People Who Lived the Longest. So the Blue Zones are split up into five regions around the world, and they usually have the world's healthiest, happiest, and longest living populations. And one of those first areas is right in the United States, Loma Linda, California. Now, Loma Linda, California is home to a large community of Seventh-day Adventists, a religious group that typically follows a vegetarian diet and avoids alcoholic beverages. Now, individuals in this community have been shown to outlive the average American by nearly a decade. In a study of over 73,000 Seventh-day Adventists found that those who followed a vegetarian diet or a diet with a significantly reduced meat consumption had a lower risk of mortality resulting from cardiovascular or renal kidney conditions and several other areas. Now, the second area in one of the Blue Zones is the Nicoya Peninsula in Costa Rica. Now, it's estimated that Nicoyans are twice as likely to reach the age of 90 years old than North Americans, and they are known to maintain an active lifestyle and emphasize faith and family, which is believed to contribute to their longevity. And their diets consist primarily of rice, beans, beef, fish, and chicken, with minimal to no intake of processed and refined foods. Now, men, the Nicoyan men, are usually shown or present with significantly lower cardiovascular risk biomarkers, and these all include like cholesterol, fasting glucose, and blood pressure, and also triglycerides. So the older men and women living in Nicoya experience fewer functional disabilities and less cognitive decline as they age, even well into their late 80s and 90s. Now, the third region in the Blue Zone areas around the world is Sardinia, Italy. Now, Sardinia, an Italian island located in the Mediterranean Sea, is unique in that it is home to the largest, longest living population of men in the world. Now, this population engages in regular physical activity and daily natural movement, and is known to walk significant distances through hilly terrain each day, promoting heart and bone health. Now, the diets are mostly plant-based, comprising an abundance of vegetables, fruit, beans, and whole grain bread. And additionally, Sardinians prioritize strong interpersonal relationships, which contribute to their mental and physical well-being. And the fourth area in the blue zones found around the world is Ikaria, Greece. Approximately 8,000 people live on the small Greek island in the Aegean Sea known as Ikaria. The overwhelming majority of older people living in Ikaria report following a mostly plant-based diet, engaging in daily physical activity, socializing with friends and family frequently, avoiding smoking, and enjoying midday naps, all of which may contribute to their longer lifespans. Older Ikarians are likely to remain physically active well into their 80s and 90s. A study investigating the longevity of Ikarians demonstrated that approximately 6 out of 10 individuals over the age of 90 participated in regular physical activity, including walking and other moderate intensity activities. Now, the fifth and final area found within the blue zones is Okinawa, Japan. Located in Japan, Okinawa is best known for being home to the longest living women on Earth. Okinawans typically live well into their 80s and beyond, largely without crippling disability or illness that commonly affects North Americans and people of many other countries around the world. Research has demonstrated that Okinawans have lower rates of age-related conditions, such as cardiovascular disease and cancer, compared to the rest of Japan and the United States. What do you think about boiled peanuts?
Somebody introduced them to me very recently, and they were incredibly tasty. I was actually really surprised.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Huh.
How about you?
That's it. Oh, I love peanuts. I love boiled peanuts. All of them.
I am not from a place where boiled peanuts are a traditional snack item, so they're new to me.
That's just alien to me. Just that whole thought process is just alien to me. I don't understand. Please explain this to me, please.
Now, I am pretty sure there are places in the world where the American obsession with peanuts just does not translate.
Nope, this is America.
But nutritious, affordable, packed with protein, very versatile. Can be a dessert, can be an addition to savory or sweet, can be eaten on its own or blended up into something else. Like, it just can be whatever your little heart desires. Super love the peanut.
I love it. Boiled peanuts is something a little bit different, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, especially if you don't know what you're expecting. I always say it's like chickpeas, right?
Yeah. Like really well-prepared chickpeas, but they're both legumes, I think, if I'm remembering right. So, I mean, that analogy makes sense.
Yep. Mm-hmm. So it's like, I don't know. I think you probably could like blend it up and make it into some kind of,
a hummus almost.
Yeah, it's like, I don't know. It's not quite there, but it's different. It's just different.
But good.
I've always loved them. A
little bit messy. Eat it outdoors.
Oh, yeah. For sure. I remember eating them at games. But, there is that whole thing where, you have peanuts at the baseball games. And, sure. But here you can get them in a you know, little sack, and you've got this little thing where you can throw the shells into, because there's going to be plenty of shells with juice, and your hands are just going to be, and there's a other beverage that you can drink, you know, you can drink and eat, you know, all in combination, but I'm not going to say that name of that beverage here.
A cola beverage, perhaps?
Maybe. Maybe.
I see.
I'm not giving them any advertisement. None at all.
None at all.
Not even a little bit. No.
Much love to the cola nut.
There you go. I don't know. There's something about that, you know, acidic from that drink and the saltiness and the texture of it all. For me, it just works. I don't know. Maybe that's just me. I would love to know everybody else's thoughts. Like, have you ever had this? Is there some other different kind of variation on this nut, you know, somewhere else in the world? I would love, like, hey, we eat cashews like that or something else. Something weird.
We'll have to explore the controversial origins of the boiled peanut mythos someday.
There's so many different mythos behind that, from the Civil War and all.
Right.
It just doesn't make sense. Yeah, there's so much. That's probably another topic for another day. We're definitely going to dive into that. You know me, I like just a little smidge of controversy.
Who you? No way.
Just a little bit. You're coming in on the nice end of the podcast episodes, I'm telling you.
Oh, you used to be saltier.
Oh, I was really salty. I don't know. I'm probably still a bit salty, but, you know.
Mellowing with age.
Just a little bit. More like fine wine.
You know? Fine wine. That's right. Coming into your own.
There you go. All right. Tonight, we're jumping into the Blue Zones.
The Blue Zones.
Oh, Michelle. This is, I don't know. How old would you like to live to? Like, if you had a choice from life right now.
Well, you know, that's complicated, because if you're living to be 117, but you're on life support and you're miserable and you can't do anything, I don't want that. But if I am living a vibrant life, I'd like to live as long as I can. And I think everybody, you know, exists somewhere in that plane.
Yeah. You know, when I was doing a lot of the research and just looking at some of the stories and just reading a lot of the stories on the Blue Zones themselves and where they're located, what I found to be one of the common things across a lot of the regions is that they all like live to these old ages, and then boom, they die, you know? I don't know.
I do think that longevity is... Well, I mean, everybody is looking for that, and they're looking for some magic pill or some fountain of youth, and maybe they found those there.
Yeah. There was a lot of commonalities between all of the regions, you know, whether it was faith or, of course, the big thing is they were all largely plant-based.
Right.
Plant-based diets, and they just...
Mm-hmm. For a variety of reasons.
Right. And of course, a lot of them... They didn't have any meat in their diets, or they did very little meat. It's more of a condiment, you know.
Sure. A few ounces a few times a week.
Yeah. And, you know, it goes back to that, you know, whole special occasion for weddings, blah, blah, blah. But I just found that to be really interesting. And I also, when I was looking at it, I was like, wait a minute, they all drink, and they all...
Mm-hmm. And in moderation.
But I was looking, I was like, wait a minute, the wine that they're actually drinking is not created equal. It's not the same stuff that we're thinking about with sulfates and all that stuff. It's actually stuff from their own vineyards or own regions, and it's organically grown, and it's been on their land that they've had passed down, and it's unadulterated, you know, for lack of better words. And it's something that they just incorporate to daily life, and it's just like this enjoyment. Like sometimes it's like, yeah, we're having wine with lunch, we're having wine with dinner, we're having this wine before we're going to bed at night. It's just a
which begs the question, though: is it the wine? Is it the companionship? Is it the habit of taking time for yourself? Is you know, what is it about that makes this a beneficial addition?
Yeah, that was another area too. It's like those real strong and personal, you know, interpersonal relationships and, you know, the social, you know, bonding between friends and family and having that. And another area, not so much in some of them, but it was faith too.
Mm-hmm.
And that played in. And I'm not talking about like in an organized way, but just in a, you know, I have this faith and I believe in this, and you have family right. members and you're building one another up in that way. So it's a little bit different. And then as far right. as I could see, it's a healthier way of worship, whatever that looks like.
Right.
You know.
Well, I think it does two things. One, I think it is good for people to have a community around them. And that's a really, I think, common, easy way to build that community. And community is such a big, you know, factor in your health as you age. And then also that explicit relationship with a creator. So you're having time in deep thought. You're communicating, I guess, with a creator, God, in most religions, you know. So yeah. There's that kind of actual relationship with some kind of deity, which is really interesting. It didn't really matter which one, but that faith itself was in some way beneficial to people.
Yeah. I found that to be really interesting. And it's like, yeah, this is, you know, just like you were saying, this is like almost this thing that's been built into us, whatever that faith is, or this thing to worship something else, or to have
mm-hmm.
grounding effect with something else, and it just makes us feel more alive. I don't know, something.
Yeah,
I think it's just to have something bigger than us,
right?
I think that's what it is, and it's, I don't know, it just makes you feel better.
I mean, like, I think something about it does. I mean, I couldn't pinpoint it, but it's something.
Another thing too, I found, you know, one of the commonalities between all the regions, and we're going to jump into some of the regions here a little bit, is about the amount of physical activity that they all have
in right.
their locations. And I found that to be interesting.
But it wasn't a gym membership. It was
right.
Their life inherently required that they were active to be alive, you know. Mm-hmm. So that was interesting. And that's not to say a gym membership is bad, but
no.
Just living an active life kind of, you know, it's built in, which is
right. Yeah. That's, you know, HIIT exercises. You know, I know everyone has these different ways of working out, but I found that sure. to be more productive for me. And I think there's a lot of studies that have come out that saying once you get over a certain age, like over 40, I don't know anyone around here that's over 40, but but it's better for you to work out in spurts. And I think, you know, because of the way their lifestyle is in these particular regions, whether it's walking up a hill or down or doing
right.
work and, you know, bending or doing this or that, I think that's almost a HIIT workout. And if you're doing this your entire life,
sure,
and you're doing this all the way into your, say, 70s and even 80s in some cases, a lot of, you know, I think that helps keep that vitality going on over the course of the rest of your life. I don't know, it's strange to how that works out. It's like how you eat a plant-based diet, you work out, you have all these healthy outlooks on life, whether it's having companionship and, you know, all these things working together. There's a lot of other things too I was looking at, and I could probably talk about this for hours just on just
sure.
the soil in
sure.
in the regions and not having all this development going on wherever they are, and just so many different factors. Like I said, this is like a 20-year study, and
yeah,
I've talked a little bit about that in the pre-show before you and I sure. jumped in here and started waxing poetic. But it's really interesting, all the different elements that are actually going into this. And just so let's jump into some of the regions. What was one of the regions that you found to be, and there's five regions as of
right
now, that we're just focusing on, and that they've actually found to be blue zones. Now, this is not right. This is these entire areas.
Now, not, and yeah. They're not all blue zones for everyone, it seemed. Like, wasn't Okinawa mostly a blue zone for women?
Exactly. Yep. And that's one of, I knew you were going to go there. I don't know how I knew you were going to go there, but I'm going to let you talk about that. You can talk about that for a little bit, and I'm going to interject here and there.
Now, if I remember right, it was mostly nuns that were being compared to. And so a lot of them had reached the ripe old age of 100, which is, I don't know how remarkable that is for most Japanese citizens, but apparently it's considerably higher for the women of Okinawa than it would be of women nearby. I'm not positive what the difference is, but obviously these people have a deep spiritual connection and they have sisterhood, which is kind of not just a single person you're relying on for your social health, but like a whole cloister of people that exist together. And I think that they said the magic number was 5 for some of these groups, where they had a small friend group of about 5 people, and they grew old together and they knew each other forever and they spent time together daily, checked up on each other, consumed food and that daily dose of alcohol together. And it seems like a family unit to me, but maybe like a better than family unit, because it's so easy to ignore your family these days.
You know, it's so funny because we're so into our devices or whatever it is we're involved, even if it's just life itself. And sometimes we don't spend that time with family and dealing with them. But, you know, and sometimes there are very, good reasons for doing such, right?
Sure. But doesn't it beg the question, is this blue zone extended lifespan, is that going to carry on to the generations that follow, or is that something that's going to be unique to this group of people that existed before technology was their whole life? And is it something we're going to see in decline in the coming years because of that, because technology is now such a big part of your life everywhere? It's so available,
And there was a few studies that was done on a little bit of that. They're seeing some of the generations that are 50 years and basically 50 years and under, so they're starting to see a tight bit of a change, but it's really hard because some of the studies are still out on that, or we just won't go until they get of that age, and unfortunately we probably will be their same age or we won't be here, so it's like I don't know, you know what I mean? I don't know. Yeah. I won't. I'm like, I won't be that, but it's just
interesting. And the diet too in Okinawa is now, I think that they do consume meat, but fish mostly.
Yeah. They're in Loma Linda, California. They don't drink, and they're vegetarian.
You mean the ones in Loma Linda? They're the
Adventist,
right? Seventh Day.
Yeah. They don't drink. So that's probably one of the only groups in the area that, as far as in the regions, that doesn't, they don't drink at all. So that's the only
right.
Yeah.
And good medical care, though.
Right. That's a huge thing. But like I said, going back to just these generations and just how it's changing and merging over from, not being this particular age group that's aging out, but then they right now they have all these things that are being added into their diet and into their social circle, or if they don't have a social circle, and they're just dealing with all these technological advances.
Now it also brings up a question for me when we were looking at these studies. Is it purely social? Is it regional? Is it genetic? Is it all of those things put together? And why would that be the case in Okinawa, where obviously these participants, the women that get to be 100, aren't having children? So it's clearly not exclusively genetics, but it is a a more isolated genetic pool. You know, I wonder how much of that is good genes and how much is reading.
Yeah, I think some of it is definitely genetic. I mean, we can't rule that out. You know, I'm pretty sure.
Right.
It's that, like I said, there's so many different factors, and even though this is a, like I said, a 20-year study plus, it's there's just still so many elements that have yet to be found out, and so many studies
and are hard to isolate.
Right. I mean, there's this little incident with the birth records. I think it was in Ikara, Greece, which that's another one of the and they're like, well, they may not necessarily have been this old, but it's like, yeah, but it's only 5 or 10 years, so it's, you know, so even if they're
but
not
it's 10 years wrong, relevant, 10,
they're still in the ballpark, right?
Yeah.
they're still pretty much in a ballpark, so we're gonna give a little bit of a pass on that. I think that was just someone just trying to debunk, you know. You know,
but like, I love Greek food, so I'm into it.
Oh, I had a vegan spanakopita a couple weeks ago. Oh my god, that was one of the best things I have had in quite a while. And I love Greek and Italian food. Oh my goodness, It's a thing. Anyway, I'm about to totally get into the different types of food that I want right now.
Oh, you're not supposed to podcast hungry.
I don't know. I just had donuts, vegan donuts, with my kids. I'm trying to slowly but surely fully convert them into it, and I'm doing it in a very sneaky way.
Donuts are their gateway drug.
Yes. Here's a little bit of donut. Don't you want some more of this? Yeah. Come on into my world. And it's like their hook. We need some more of those donuts. Anyway, I'm totally getting off. Okay, all right, so what were we talking about? I can't even remember now.
It was Spanakopita.
See, now you're messing with me.
It was Greece. We had briefly talked about Greece.
We were talking about something before that. What was it?
Oh, genetics or...
Yeah, genetics. Yeah, the audience is like, what are y'all doing? You're having too much fun. You need to get back on topic. No, this is... No. Anyway. Before you start podcasting, check, do all these things. Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah, but it's just so interesting just how this kind of like comes together and how these studies are being done and just the information that's coming from them. I mean, from the health benefits, and it's like these lifestyles that we really have known about for quite a while now, but because everyone is behind the eating of meat and all these other things, which, I mean, if that's a choice you want, you know, that's something you choose to do right now, that's a choice you're making in your life, and that's the path you're on, that's fine. You know, we're not, you know, telling everyone to say, hey, you know, we're not shoving it down your throat, but, you know, when the evidence is there for certain things and they're not benefit overall, because definitely, I don't want to be one of those, you know, because that's like, oh, you're, you know, gatekeeper.
Oh, no, you're eating.
Toxic gatekeeper. Oh,
yeah.
I don't want to be that. No, it's like, oh.
Right. Yeah. I proselytize about some stuff because I definitely think people maybe just don't know.
I try
to be, as you know, everybody's where they are because they made the choices based on what they know, and you gotta do that. So
it's one thing to get the information out and versus saying this is what you should do, and if you don't do this you're a horrible person, you know. It's those are
totally, I'm not gonna things. Throw fake blood on anyone.
Right.
That's awkward. Is it okay if my fake blood is room temperature? I don't know what I'm doing.
So bad. Yeah, I just found all these areas to be just so you know, fun to just dive down into, and just diving down to some of the history of some of the regions too.
Right.
There, you know, just, but you know what I found out too, especially looking at the Okinawa, Japan area, was, sure. And really in some of the other, especially in the, Sardinia, Italy, and somewhat in Greece too. In those three regions, they really value their elderly.
Right.
And they live in generational within the family home. Like you have the, you know, they'll have several generations in the family and they are highly esteemed, which
right.
It hasn't been like that here in the United States for quite a while. It's like now we're not looking to them for wisdom. Now it's like this total flip. It's like we treat them like children and we throw them into a nursing home or whatever. Or, you know,
I might.
Years old, you don't know anything, you know?
I do think that flip isn't exclusively on the side of the younger generations looking. I do think those other regions, they also feel a duty to the generations below them to continue mentoring and helping.
Yeah.
May have a little bit of mentality here in the U.S. I've done my time. It's my turn to vacation now. I'm rich.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
Bye, kids. Margaritaville. You know, and there's this mentality of me that might be the issue more than, you know, not valuing our elderly. Because I know I'd take the help of my old folks anytime, you know, and also support them as well. But, you know, I do think that there is some generational me-ness that gets complicated on both sides.
Yeah, I think it's definitely that, because you have both sides of that coin. It's like on one side, you have the children, they're ready to be done with their parents, especially if they're in you know, their elderly years, you know, if they're like 70 or, you know, above or whatever.
Not quite mobile as they used to be.
Yeah, and they can't, you know. And then you have on the other side of that, maybe, just maybe, you'll have, you know the older parents. It's like, oh no, you know, and then they are going off, you know, to, like you said, Carinaville, and they're living this life of excess and, you know, debauchery.
that's a whole different episode, boy.
Right. Yeah, like I said, it's just the valuing of the elderly, I think, is, and it's not just, like I was saying before, it's not just the children of said parents, but it's just like, just the entire, it's society in general. It seems like, in general, it's like, they don't put any, you know, they're really not looking at them as if they need to have some kind of, they don't need to get experience from them. They don't have, they have no value. And it just seems like, it's just, I don't know. It's like,
have a culture that worships youth. And
yeah, you know, exactly. That's,
you know, based on the way you look, or on you're the one out having fun, or we follow you, or whatever. You know, it is a youth worshiping culture. So I guess I can see that too.
It's like, once you get to 40, boom, oh no, you're no longer good.
That would be Logan's Run, if you were looking for a reference.
Yeah. I totally got it. It's like, you get to a certain point, it's like, yeah. But yeah, and I asked that question at the top, is like, you know, what age would you like to live to? And, you know, I don't know, for me,
yeah.
I don't know if I had to put a number on it based on where I am right now. I mean, if I were to go by the stats in the U.S. right now on how old a man will live.
Right.
You know, just, and I'm just looking at it from that standpoint because, well, that's what I am. It's just,
yeah.
I've got more years behind me than I do in front of me at this point. So, you know what I mean? So that's a scary, you know.
But statistically, that doesn't have to be the case.
Yeah. And I'm looking at, you know, my health level right now, and, you know, based on those that have come before me and my family, and looking at how they have aged gracefully for the most part, and they're they're healthy for the most part, you know, even right. despite some major, you know, things going on here and there. So it's just, yeah, it's just, you know, you start, and I think that's normal for all of us to start looking at our own mortality once we get to a certain point in our age, and it's usually mid-age, you know, and
right.
start looking at that, and I'm looking forward, and, but I think I could live to the ripe old age of 100.
Sure. I think achievable.
Yeah, know. It's definitely achievable. I think we all say that, right? We all say, oh, yeah, we're going to live to this ripe old age, and does it really happen? I don't know.
Before a certain age, it's, you know, accidents or surprises that'll get you, but yeah.
Yeah, because you know, just like what you were saying before, you briefly mentioned it, just, you know, you want to live that long life, but you don't want to live those last, you know, 15, 20 years and, you know,
right.
having these debilitating, you know,
yeah.
chronic, you know, things going on with you until you just...
You don't want to be miserable for your last 2 decades.
Right. Yeah. And I think that's what people have gotten used to. It's like, oh, well, I get to this certain point. But I, you know, and from what I was finding out too, is there was a study, and I meant to send you this study, but you can actually answer these questions to see just how long you're going to live based on. I'm going to make sure I put that in the show notes so everybody can actually take it. It'll be really fun, but it'll,
a lot of it. If it's good news.
Let's hope so. If not, I'm gonna have a headache. Anyway, I'm not gonna get to that yet, but my jokes galore. But when I was looking at that, and it was just saying that a lot of it has to do with how long you think you're actually going to live. It's like
sure.
mind over matter, and it's like that affects the way you not only live your life, but just your outlook on life and yeah. how you approach life. And you know, and stress has a lot to do with.
I did see that. Yeah, that yeah. stress is the yeah. major factor. If they had advice on how to avoid stress, that would be great.
Mm-hmm. a lot of it too is placed in there too. You know, meditation is, you know, one of the
right.
which, but it's like, I don't know if because I have practiced meditation on and off for probably about 15 years, and
yeah,
I sometimes, what's that?
Same, yeah.
Yeah, and sometimes I just get in my own head sometimes when I'm supposed to be meditating and clearing it out and just trying to relax, but yet I find myself drifting into these things I have to do and this and that, and it's like, okay, I'm gonna start over. But I usually try to do it in the morning in the garden, try to do that whole Zen thing.
Perfect.
Yeah. And those days that I actually accomplish it, and you know, I've tried to do that for short periods of time.
Sure.
You know, for 5 minutes, just for 10 minutes, early in the morning, you know.
I try to do 20 minutes at a time.
Yeah.
And I don't do it inside. I do it on an acupressure mat because it helps me focus.
Oh, there you go. I'll tell you, when I am at the beach and when I'm out there, just slightly before the sun comes up, and there are just the subtle, because it sounds different. The waves and everything sounds different early in the morning than it does, you know, later in the morning, in the afternoon, and definitely later in the day. But it just sounds so much, and you can just totally zone out. And I've been able to meditate out there for up to an hour and a half, and it's just something just different about that. I don't know if it's the salt water or whatever it is. It's just something.
Your own personal ASMR.
Yeah, right. It just feels different. And it's just like you can totally disconnect for that, you know, short period of time, or for that long period of time if you're doing an hour and a half. Then like, oh, I almost fell asleep here. Which you know, I talk to, you know, a lot of people that do a lot of meditation. I'm like, hey, if you fell asleep doing that, that's good. That's good. It's like,
and did they agree with you?
It's like, you fell asleep. Oh yeah. It was like, you know, and I laid it out. I was like, whoa, you were so relaxed. You were so stress-free at that moment. It emptied your mind that you were able to fall asleep. You were able to take that mid-afternoon nap in the morning or whatever time you get your meditation, right? You were able to do that. And when you wake up from those, you always feel refreshed. But I don't know. It's just something about meditating, you know, at the beach for me. It's just, you know, and I know everyone can't do that or they don't live by beaches and everything like that. But just some, I don't know, maybe this has something to do with the water feature, maybe. I don't know.
Sure.
Get this little trickling, you know, in your office or wherever you are. I don't know. But anyway, that's all I have to say about that, because I could go on and on about the whole meditative state in which I was and or wasn't. Anyway, so anything you wanted to really pull out as far as anything else on the blue zones?
I found the whole thing to be really fascinating. I wonder if somebody moves to a blue zone, does it automatically, if they adopt the lifestyle, does it also extend their potential lifespan? You know, I wonder if there's a that, you know?
Yeah. I actually was watching a few videos on people that had moved to Greece, and they started adapting everything immediately. And now they'd only been there for like 8 or 9 years, but they started to see, you know, we won't know how long they're going to live, but any little thing can extend your life. I mean, it's a positive, right? But they felt less stress. They felt less tension. And it was like, because of the lifestyle, just the, you know, slower way of living intentional, and the way of eating and feeling like they were connected to other people just over those, you know, short few years. So I don't know, maybe.
And I wonder about maybe if there's something unique specifically about those regions that you can't adopt those same ideas wherever you are and extend your life as well. I mean, that's got to be an option, right? You know, you don't live in Loma Linda, but you can live like you live in Loma Linda and maybe get those benefits elsewhere too. You can be in Kansas or you can be in New Zealand or wherever.
Yeah. I found that to be very interesting. Just like wonder, because I thought about that too, wondering if you could adapt
the soil or, you know, something in the water. And now some of them, there was something specific about, and I don't remember which one I saw it, but that there was high mineral content in the water that reduced the instances of certain medical conditions like osteoporosis.
Right. Yep.
You know, and is that something that can only be done in a certain place because it's in combination with the other things? Or, you know, how do we apply that to our lives as well without getting to move to these other places?
Yeah. For everyone to be clear, we don't have a lot of answers, okay? This is just a discussion, a conversation, trying to sort this out, trying to figure it out, trying to get to some kind of answer. You know what I mean? It's like we're trying to present some of the information that we've gathered and trying to just figure it out. And I think if you're doing any of these things and adding any of these things to your life, it's not a bad thing. It's only good. You know?
Only good stuff can come from it. It may not be perfect for everyone. Maybe you can't avoid stress, or maybe you can't walk everywhere you need to go. But, you know, if you're starting to add that, every positive step is a positive step, you know?
Yeah, in the right direction, for sure. Yeah. Well, I think that's about all I have. Is there anything else you want to
tell me? I think we covered it. I think that it really just is a head scratcher for me, you know, like what can we take away from it? How do we apply it to our life? Am I being intentional about the ways that I'm doing it? So...
Yeah. I think it's a really good topic. I think I definitely want to come back at some point. And, you know, I always say that about all my episodes, like, I really want to come back and, you know, maybe cover this from a different angle and try to figure out some new things, or if there have been some new
things. I wish they'd do a twin study, you know. Right. Twin here and a twin in.
Right. You know, like I said, this for me was really eye opening. Just all things. And, you know, I've got a couple of takeaways from it.
Yeah.
You know, just little things, being living more intentional is one of the biggest things I took from this. It's like they seem like they all are living these intentional lives, and
they're
trying to slow down, or they lived a life to where that's all it's ever been, and they're incorporating all these positive reinforcements in their life, mostly by default, but you can't help but see the benefits from it.
So, right. I think we can all take away something from that. So that's a good thing.
Yeah. All right. Well, this is the end of the Blue Zones episode. Anything else you would like to tell the people where they can find you, or you don't want them to find you?
I don't exist on the internet. I am a stigma.
You don't
exist. Nope. I'm not on the Instagram. I haven't been on the Facebook in forever.
You're not on the internet, Michelle. You're not on the internet.
I mean, I'm on LinkedIn, but boy, is that...
Oh, you're on the LinkedIn. Okay. I'm not going to say that. No. Okay. All right. Okay. Well, that's going to end the show.
All right.
I was about to be totally inappropriate and be canceled. I was still going to be canceled. See?
Oh, don't do it.
See? This is what happens when you get this older man brain. And, no, it's not older at all. Not even I'm just kidding.
I don't believe you.
Of course. And neither do, you know, the thousands of people listening. They don't believe because they know.
They know better. You can't fool them.
Nope. Not even a little bit.
Well, good for them.
Right.
The truth is out there, folks.
There you go. The truth is out there. Oh, it's out there. I'll talk about that later.
I see. All right.
Well, I'm going to close out, and I'll see you guys on the next episode. We're going to do a listener question on the next episode.
That's
fun. I literally have some questions from last year towards the end of May. So some of them I answered actually online, just kind of like sent them an email saying, hey, we're on hiatus, whatever, whatnot. But there's a lot of other questions that haven't been answered, and some of them, so I'm gonna definitely start doing that, but I'm probably gonna pick out about 10 or 15, and some of the other ones will come in during each and every show moving forward, so that we can get everything squared away and all the questions answered. And some of them were various, you know, specific questions, and they're not something that you can do a Google search and find something on in, say, you know, 10, 15 minutes. I thought it would be starting with the oldest, moving up to the latest as of yesterday, because we got a couple questions come in.
So where can people submit questions?
Oh, they can submit everything onto the podcast. It's right there at the end of the show notes. They will see them as soon as they click on it.
I love it.
All right. Well, I will see you next time. Thank you for joining me again.
Have a good one. We'll talk to you next time.
Have a good one. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Hey, everybody. This is Tony with The Grounded Podcast. Make sure to follow and share the show. Share the show via your social media, friends, and family. And leave a 5 or 4-star review to help us move up in the charts. And by the way, stars 1 through 3 no longer work. Another way you can help the podcast to grow is by subscribing to the podcast for just $2.99 a month. Just basically the cost of a cup of coffee, right? And you can also follow us on Instagram at @groundedpodcast_. Thank you so much.